we've gathered here this morning because there is no greater name. And we are so thankful that you have poured out your grace upon us and have opened up our hearts and our eyes to receive who you are. And I pray that today, Lord, we would continue to give you our hearts, that we would surrender to you, and that we would realize, Lord, that no matter how tempting and how visible earthly treasures are, that we would realize the true gift is you. So God, pour out your spirit upon this place. I pray, Lord, that as we sang the words, we sang because we've tasted your goodness. We've experienced your faithfulness. We've seen you pick us up and bring life into our situations, and you've given us the ability to know, God, that we can trust you. So thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this time. Would you please bless it by being our teacher? And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. Look, we got a house full of jerseys. Wow. Okay. All you Raider fans, sit down. Love all of you guys. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's up? We are going to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, and so please open up your Bibles, and if you do not have one of our ushers will make sure they can get one in your hand and you can follow along with us. And so just raise your hand if you need a Bible. Anybody? Toward the back. Praise the Lord. And if you do not have one personally, you can take that one home with you, considered a gift from us to you. And while you are turning there, I do have a couple of things that I want to share with you. And that is, if you have not been water baptized, once again, on February 25th after the third service, we are going to do a joint baptism. For many of you who may not know this, at 2 p.m., we have our Spanish ministry who has their own service in room 100-101. And so they have, I think, roughly around eight people from their fellowship, from that fellowship, that are going to be being baptized as well, along with us. And so it's going to be a great day for us as a family to join together and do it, and then of course be a part of the luncheon. And so I'd encourage you, if you don't have any plans, come on back. Let's support those who are making that public declaration that they love Jesus and desire to follow him. So please mark your calendar for that, February 25th. And then also, really quick, for those of you parents here this morning, last week, we talked a little bit about a new thing that we're doing within the children's ministry, specifically for fifth graders. It is called Armor Up. It is an eight-week class that we want to do with your students. And it's important that you understand we are wanting to just focus on the fifth graders because they are getting ready to transition into the sixth grade. And because of that, we want to give them some good foundation in our beliefs, what we believe the Bible says, who God is, and so forth, and about creation. And so, parents, I want to encourage you to please make sure you sign up for it. And when you sign up, you'll receive a letter. We want you to know each and every topic that we will be discussing. And so it's important that you know so that you can also talk to them at home about it. We are here not to teach them and to, be the responsible people of raising your kids. It's your responsibility. We want to come alongside of you, okay? And so we want to encourage you to be a part of that. Sound good?
Yep.
All right, you guys ready for a study?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Verse 28, here comes 50-50 Peter. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And so Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in this age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Father, we come before you, and again, we are thankful for this morning. I pray, God, as we worshiped you in song, and again, just having the opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence is a gift. And there are certain times when I wish that we didn't have to stop, that we could be with you throughout the whole day without any distractions. And so I just pray that right now as we turn to your word, your living word, that it will pierce us, that we will be drawn into this passage and to realize that it applies to us. So God, help us by giving us understanding today. Help me get out of your way, Lord. And may you speak to us clearly. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. So we're going to jump right into our passage this morning. And if you're wondering what was taught, you know, in the previous verses, I would encourage you can check out our social media or go on to our website and you can click on last week's message. But because we have a pretty good passage, I want to make sure that I go through it and still have enough time not to get angry people during third service. So here we go. In verse 17, one of the things that is important for us to see is that Jesus is now working his way to Jerusalem. And Mark reveals that one came running to him, knelt before him. And my encouragement to us all, whenever we're in the Word of God, that we would look at the gospel accounts and see, especially if this one particular event is in other of the gospels, because it gives us a fuller picture. Now, if you notice with me, in Mark's account, it just says one came running. But when we look at Matthew's account, it tells us this: he was a young man, okay? And then when you look at Luke's account, it tells us that he was a ruler, a person who had a position of authority, a man of great influence, a man of great wealth. And so when you start putting all of these pieces together, this rich young ruler came running to Jesus. And of course, the motion and the word running speaks of an urgency. And this was an uncommon scene during this time. It was considered undignified for a man to run, and especially for somebody who was wealthy. Somebody who had this, you know, influence and power would go running to somebody else. But then not only was he running, notice with me, he fell on his knees before Jesus, which is a position of submission, a position of respect and honor, understanding and knowing that the person in front of you is far greater than you. And so from this position, Notice with me that he asked Jesus a question, and he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And beloved, I want us to take note of this, because here we have this gentleman, this young man, who has authority, who has power, and who has wealth, who has money. In other words, he's got some big pockets, okay? And when we look at who this is, it is a person who could have enjoyed any of the worldly pleasures that they wanted to, and yet, where is he at? Running down a road, running somewhere to find Jesus, because those things that he could have at any moment, without any hesitation, yet what is he doing? Seeking eternal life. And sure enough, as we look at this, the truth that we need to understand is this: there's no amount of authority, power, or wealth that is going to bring you complete joy. It may promise you that, but I guarantee you it will leave you empty after you've tasted it for a season. And sure enough, there's a lot of things in our world that will promise you happiness. And I can remember very clearly, as I shared with many of you before my testimony, there was no good for me at the age of 14 to be hanging out in Hollywood, California at an 18 and over nightclub. There's no reason for that. And yet that was the path. That was my life. And so, though it promised all this enjoyment, it would always leave me empty. And the reality is, again, he could have had anything in this world, but take note, it didn't satisfy him to the point where he came, knelt before Jesus, and came seeking for eternal life. And in verse 18, Jesus said to this young man, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." And what I want to point out here that's important, Jesus is going to hit on two things. The first thing is Jesus questions this young man, "Why do you call me good?" Okay? The title "good teacher" here was never used during this time for any of the rabbis, because it implied sinlessness. Okay? And what is important to understand again, and know, Jesus was not denying his deity, but he really wanted this young man to think about the title that he gave him. Do you really believe in what you just called me? Do you really understand if nobody is good and there's only one who is, and that is God, and you're calling me good, do you realize what you're saying? And so as he brought this to this young man's attention, the second thing that I want to point out is this: this rich young ruler did not have a correct understanding of what eternal life, how to receive it. I want you to notice the way that he framed his question, and that was, "Can I earn it?" Notice the words, "What shall I do?" In the ESV translation, it says this: "What must I do?" So his understanding of entering into the kingdom of God is based upon what do I need to do to gain this? And the reality is this: Jesus heard what he had to say, and Jesus pointed this young man to the scriptures. He pointed him to the law. And I want you to notice this. He says to this young man, "You know what the commandments say." And then, of course, he goes into, "Do not commit adultery, murder, steal, bear false witness, go honor your father and your mother." And what's interesting about these portions of the commandments that he pointed him to, the ones that Jesus lists here, the resources that I looked at said this, that these were more than likely the list that were written on the second tablet of the law, which those second commands all dealt with your relationship with people. For those of you who don't know this, we read in the Old Testament, when God gave Moses the law, he gave him two tablets. And many people believe that one of the tablets, the very first one that he gave, all reflected their relationship with God. There's only one God. You shall not have any other gods. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And you need to honor the Sabbath. All of those were in one tablet. Then you have the second tablet, which has all of the rest of the six, all of the do nots, and all of those are definitely related and connect with our relationship with other people. And so it's important for us to remember also in the gospel accounts, another incident where somebody came up to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment of them all?" And Jesus said this, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind." Tablet number one. Tablet number two, love your neighbor. Hang all of the law on these two. That's the greatest. I thought that was pretty cool. Hopefully it is for you. Okay, all right, awesome, awesome. But they believed that that's what he was wanting this young man to hear. And again, one of the things that I pray we would see is this, you know, it's all about, have you been doing what you're supposed to? Have you been treating people well? Have you done anybody wrong? You know, kind of those things. And again, those are good laws. But notice verse 20, the young man replied, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And let's just be real. How many of us know? No, you haven't. You know, you think you have, but let's just be real, right? We know that. But even the Apostle Paul, before he became a believer, everybody looked at him as he was blameless, like he achieved all of the law because of the outward demonstrations. He may have did everything right according to the law, but his heart was so far from God. So for him to come up and say, you know, "I've kept all of these from my youth," and you know, again, okay, but Jesus didn't kind of focus on that. What is amazing is that as this young man said these words, what came to my mind is this. Here is a young man. And again, brothers, don't get all bent out of shape, but we don't always have it together, especially when we're young men. We think we know it all, but the reality is we don't know anything. And I want you just to see this, because even though he was a young man, he had power, he had money, he had authority, he had influence, and yet he says, "I kept them," which reveals that he not only had good manners, but he had good morals. And that's pretty amazing. I think I shared this with you, but a couple of weeks ago when I was at the discipleship school in New Mexico, to see somebody, you know, see an average age student that was there that was maybe 18 and 19. Again, I already showed you a little glimpse of my life of where I was at 14, let alone 19. And to see them hunger and thirst for the Lord, it was such a breath of fresh air. So I could just imagine as this young man is being sincere before the Lord, again, "I've kept it. I haven't wronged anybody. I haven't mistreated anybody." But yet, he did all the outward actions, and his heart was still far from God. And in verse 21, I want you to notice Jesus' response, and this is a beautiful one. It says here that he looked at him. Jesus obviously heard what he had to say, and then it says he loved him. I'd encourage you to highlight that, circle it, because that's a word for us today, that God just loves you. Okay? God loves you. Jesus looked at him with this heart that was filled with love for him. And even though this young man's understanding was off concerning eternal life and how to receive it, this is how Jesus showed him love. You guys ready? He showed him love by speaking truth into his life. I want you to notice Jesus pointed out a few things. Number one, you lack something. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There is something that is holding you back from receiving this gift of eternal life. And beloved, how many of us know, according to the scriptures, what keeps a person from the Lord, from God, from having a personal relationship with Jesus? It's sin. Sin is what separates us from God. But he says to this young man, there's something lacking. There's something holding you back from experiencing and receiving this amazing gift. And then Jesus gives him some instructions. Go and sell what you have. I want you to give it all away to the poor. And so what Jesus is basically telling him is this: even though you're giving all of this stuff away, and again, it's just stuff, even though I'm asking you to give it away, I got something far greater for you. And notice, you may give away earthly treasures, but he says, you will have treasures in heaven. Not maybe. You're willing to do this, you will have treasures in heaven. And then Jesus gave him an invitation. You're willing to do those things? Then I want you to pick up your cross. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to die to yourself. I want you to let go of that position. I want you to let go of the luxurious lifestyle you may be living. I want you to let go of, you know, being that person that everybody's looking at and drawing attention. I want you to surrender that and then do what? Follow me. Let it go, like the prophetess said in Frozen. Right? It was an invitation. Let go of the earthly things. I have heavenly things for you. And in the meantime, until you receive them, follow me. And in verse 22, out of, again, love for this guy, he shot straight with them, spoke directly to his heart. And after hearing what Jesus said, this rich young ruler was sad. And he went away sorrowful. And the question that we need to ask is why? And Jesus gives the answer, or Mark reveals the answer here, because he had great possessions. He was rich. He had all the toys. He had all the comforts. Jesus told them the truth. And he couldn't just see it because it was all blurred. It was blur, again, by the earthly things. And Jesus made it very clear, let it go. These are earthly treasures because I have something far greater for you. And this young man, sad to say, that he walked away from it. And the reality of what we're looking at is this man chose wealth and stuff over the gift of everlasting life. He chose those things over God. And what's interesting, as I was thinking and pondering on this throughout the Gospel of Mark, it seems like every time somebody came to Jesus, they were messed up, they were ill, they were looking for healing, they were wanting Jesus to touch their life, and whenever they would walk away, they would leave in better condition. But for this young man, he went away worse than when he came. He came running and seeking eternal life, and yet he walked away filled with sorrow. And so I want to really go through these next set of verses very quickly because I want to focus on this portion toward the end. And so in verses 23 to 27, after this young man went away, notice with me that Jesus then turned to his disciples and he began to speak to them. This was another one of those teaching moments that Jesus had with them. And then Jesus said the words that it is hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. I want you to notice, read this carefully. It's hard, but not impossible. Okay? And the disciples, after hearing Jesus say this, it says that they were astonished. And this word means, you know, anything from shocked, surprised, amazed. And it can go either in a positive way or a negative way. And so the response of these disciples was not in the positive, but in the negative. They were shocked. They were speechless. Because in their hearts, they automatically assumed that when God's favor was upon a person, the fruit of that was wealth. Anybody who was wealthy, God's favor must be upon them. And so for Jesus to drop that on them, they were kind of puzzled at it. And I can just imagine Jesus seeing their face because he repeats it again. But now this time in a little bit more, hopefully understandable way. And he says, it's hard for those, notice this, it's hard for those who trust, and here's the key, trust in what? Riches. He says, trust in riches, that's the problem for those who have wealth. It's hard for them because they're trusting in their riches, their money, their material things, the things that they can do and get at the snap of a finger, because their stuff and their money has become their security and their God. They don't need Jesus. They can do whatever they want. They can have anything they want. They can go anywhere they want. And they can do it whenever they want. Why would they need God? And so Jesus laid this out for them. And then he went on to use this illustration about a camel. And I know that there's different viewpoints on this. Some have leaned more toward this image of a gate in Jerusalem that was so narrow that camels could barely walk through. And if you want to use that, that's up to you. But looking at this passage, what is Jesus wanting them to see with this example? That it is impossible for anybody to enter the kingdom of God when people place their trust on other things instead of God. It's as if you try to get a camel, full-on camel, to go through an eye of a needle. It will never happen. That's the illustration. That's the truth. Nobody can ever enter the kingdom of God without receiving and believing in who Jesus is. Amen. They may do the outward demonstrations. They may be polite. They may have some moral. I don't want anybody to be offended by this, but this is the honest truth. There are going to be some good people in hell because they've missed the one that God has sent to forgive us of our sins. You miss that, there's no switching sides after you pass away. Nobody can pray you from one side to the other. That decision needs to be made by you and no one else while you still have breath in your lungs. And the reality is Jesus was using this to let them see nobody, it is impossible for anybody to enter into the kingdom of God without believing in the one who died for their sins. And of course, did it help? Well, it says that the disciples were even more distressed. We didn't get it, Jesus. But notice, instead of asking him, they started talking with each other. Did he really just say that? Now they're starting to question their faith. Who could even be saved? You guys see that? It's like they're just baffled at what they're hearing. And in verse 27, Jesus already knew what they were discussing. And so he tells them, let me put your heart at ease. Let me bring it a little bit simpler. With men, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God based upon what you do. But it's not possible for God. All things are possible, and this is where grace comes in. The reality that Jesus wanted them to understand, and that is this, grace has the power and the ability to cover all sins. His grace, his favor that has been poured out can save anybody. Doesn't matter where you've been, where you come from, doesn't matter what your past has been like, God's grace is sufficient. And one of the things that I want to just share with you really quickly, even for rich people, even for those who have wealth, and I've shared this with you before, and so please understand, if you have stuff, if you have been blessed, praise the Lord. We rejoice with you. Praise the Lord, you have a house. Praise the Lord, you have cars. You have, you know, a boat, and you have the toys, right? All I tell you is just hook a brother up, okay? I've said it, you know, just take me out one day on your boat, you know? So I don't ask for much. I'll even help with gas, okay? I'm not going to be one of those friends that just bounces, man. I'll help you wash it. I'll help you clean it. I'll put gas in the tank. Just take me with you, okay? There is, again, those things are not bad. And I've seen a lot of people who have wealth use their wealth for God's kingdom. So it's not impossible. But again, for people who have everything, and when you express to them their need for a Savior, their immediate mindset goes to, I don't need anything. My money is my security. And sure enough, we need to remember that it is Jesus and Jesus alone who has made the way for salvation. He is the one who died on the cross. He is the one who paid for the penalty of the sins of the world. And what I want everybody to make sure we understand, and that is this, whenever we talk about the penalty of sin, it's not just speaking of a physical death. All of us are going to die one day. But the penalty of sin is this, it's eternal separation from God. So the reality is that as we're here on this earth, listen, we're going to die, but we're going to live for all eternity. And the reality is where are you going to spend it? Because if you answer this question correctly, you'll get to be with the Lord for all eternity. And if you don't, if you miss it, just like this young man did, you're not going to spend eternity with him in heaven. You're going to be spending eternity in hell. God doesn't want that, and neither do I. He says it very clearly in his word. What is good and acceptable and pleasing to God? That all would come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. You want to know why I can stand before somebody when they say, I can't believe in a God who will send people to hell? It's not God who's sending them to hell. It's God who made a way for them to avoid hell. He's given us the most amazing gift so that we don't have to face that. And there is absolutely no way that anybody could ever earn their way into heaven. And just because I'm up here, I want you to see it through God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, For by grace, this is God's favor, you have been saved through what?
Faith,
trusting, believing in what Jesus did. And that not of yourself. Did you have any part in it? Not according to what this is saying. You didn't do anything. It is what? The gift of God. A gift. Not of works, again, lest anyone should boast. I hope and pray that none of us in this room this morning would ever think that we are entitled to enter into the kingdom of God. Because we're not. But out of love, God made a way. And so in verses 28 to 31, again, here comes 50-50 Peter. And this is how my mind works when I was studying through this, so bear with me. But, you know, I'm just picturing this group, and they're all listening, and they've seen what went down with this rich young ruler. And Peter is taking very close note as to what Jesus is saying. And so I could just picture him going, okay, Jesus said this, if you sell everything, if you give away everything, you will have treasures in heaven. And so I'm adding this up, and you know, I left my home. I left my wife. Okay, Jesus, I'm hearing what you're saying. Now he includes everybody. Now he's the representative of everybody, right? And I know we make fun of Peter, but isn't it true? He says out loud what many of us would be thinking. Come on now. And he's like, we have left everything, Jesus, and we're following you. So does that mean we also have treasures in heaven? Right? And sure enough, notice this. Jesus assured them. Jesus didn't get mad for him asking. He's all like, Peter, I see you. I know what you're getting at, okay? So just listen. And he goes on and he says this, and I'm summarizing this. I know you guys have left everything to follow me. I understand that. I know you've left families, homes, possessions, lands. You walked away from a catch of a lifetime for the gospel's sake. And anybody who's willing to do that, God is going to bless them. And he goes on to say, even a hundredfold, and that is just speaking of the abundance of God's blessings. But can I tell you this? Please understand and know, God has the ability to bless people in this lifetime with possessions and finances and things like that. That is a blessing. But it's not, don't misunderstand that those blessings automatically mean God's going to give me some money. God's going to hook me up. No. Do you want to know what the greatest blessing is? His presence. Amen. That's the greatest blessing. And so Jesus assured them that they were going to be blessed for the sacrifices that they made specifically for the gospel. And again, he went on to also say this. He made it very clear, not only will you receive blessings, but there's also going to be persecution. It's in the passage. You're going to have these things, but along with them, some opposition is going to come. You're not going to be liked all the time. People are going to come at you all crooked and everything. And the reality is this. None of those things can compare to, once again, the gift of everlasting life. And so the ultimate blessing that Jesus wanted them to see is, again, everlasting life. The treasures that are in heaven are for all eternity. And it's so true, beloved, because as we're here on this earth, there's nothing that we can take with us to heaven. Actually, the only thing that we can take is people. That's it. And so Jesus wraps this up in verse 31, and he closed this portion of scripture, and he wanted to remind the disciples, now that you know that there's treasures awaiting you in heaven, don't get distracted by that. Don't start discussing with one another, well, you know, if I really am the greatest, then I probably got more treasures than you. Okay? It's not. Don't be distracted by the blessings. And Jesus reminded them what mattered most. Just keep being a servant of all. Just serve the Lord. Everything else will fall into its place. You don't have to strive. You don't have to think that you have to earn it. God will bless you when you're obedient to him. And so this morning, as we kind of stop here in this portion of scripture, what is our takeaway from this morning's message? And I pray that we would just take heed to the truth that we've kind of covered really quick. And the first thing I want to point out is this, that there's no amount of authority, power, amount of stuff, no amount of money that is ever going to satisfy you. Again, it may promise you that, but it will never completely satisfy you, because the only one who could ever satisfy your heart and your soul is Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything else will leave a void. This rich young ruler is an example, again, because he had everything, yet he came running, seeking how can he have eternal life. And as we walk through his scenario, I pray that we would also take heed and make sure that we're not making the same mistakes that this young man made. And what were some of the mistakes that are here in this passage? Well, the first thing that I want to point out is this. He saw Jesus only as a teacher, as a rabbi. I'll receive instructions from you. But he did not believe that Jesus was literally the Messiah. He didn't believe he was God in the flesh. I know many of us have come to that place where God has opened up our heart, and we understand and know Jesus is far greater than a teacher. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. And so we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that he's just a good person, that he was just a man walking around doing good deeds. No, he was God in the flesh. He is the one who poured out his blood for the sake of saving our lives and rescuing us from that penalty of sin. The next thing is this. He believed that he had to do something in order to receive eternity. What must I do? And again, we've stressed the point already that there's nothing we can do. Jesus already did it all. But the other truth is this. He made the mistake of loving earthly treasures more than the heavenly ones. And I just want us to think about this for a second. And I have an illustration that I want to show you again. I did it before, and hopefully you guys will understand it. But let me see. Yeah, come on up, bro. This young man focused his whole heart on the things that he had, the things that he could see, and the things that his wealth was able to bring him. And as I mentioned before, the reality is that we're only here on this earth for a short period of time. And sometimes life is life. And there's some that end up not being here on this earth long. Death is not shows no favoritism. There's infants passing away. There's teens passing away. Older saints passing away. And what this young man did, I pray that we would understand and know by this illustration. And as I said, that the reality is our life here on this earth is nothing. This little piece of black tape represents our life here on this earth. And the rest of the green line represents eternity. And it is amazing how many of us to this day are striving so hard to get all of the earthly treasures of this and are willing to sacrifice all of that. And the truth of the matter is there is nothing on the face of this earth that is going to satisfy you the way that God promised. You may gain these riches, but how many of us have ever seen somebody who has it have it taken away? Everybody who was at one point putting all of their security in their 403B and the economy crashed, and what happened to them? Their security was gone. What happened to all of those who were striving after the latest car and getting the big 22s and all of the sound system? Somebody else decided they wanted it more and they carjacked them. How about all of the houses and all of the stuff and all of the boats and all of the things that you could possibly do? Yeah, you may enjoy it. You may have it. But it's going to fade away. You can go ahead and roll it up. And I hope and pray that we would understand there is nothing that is going to completely satisfy you the way God can. And the reality is this gift of everlasting life is available for anybody. And in the same way, I want to now try and make it a little bit personal. In the same way that this young man came running to Jesus while he was on the road, I didn't see anybody quite running into the church this morning. Okay? It would have been an awesome sight. But you're here in his presence, because the Bible says whenever there are two or more gathered in his name, he is here. So we're here with the Lord, and we're hearing the truth out of love of what it means to receive this gift of everlasting life. And yet when this one young man heard it, he came looking for it. He came and asked, what must I do? And when Jesus made it simple, yet he didn't like the answer. He actually walked away in worse condition than he came, and he forfeited those things because he was afraid to let go of his riches. He was afraid to let go of the stuff. He was afraid. Nobody's going to look at me anymore. Nobody's going to like my Instagram post. Nobody's going to look at me when I drive down the street with a little tilt to the side. Nobody's going to see the fancy boat anymore. Not going to see all of these things. I got to let go of my position. And he wasn't able to let it go. And he walked away. And I know, because I was there myself, of sitting where you're sitting. And before I even made a confession of faith, there were times when I pretended like I wasn't listening. Whatever. And as I would hear it, what was God doing? Planting seeds of his truth in my heart. So that final day, when I walked forward, as I was sitting and God spoke and God pierced my heart and I walked forward. And on that day, I didn't walk out worse than when I came. I walked out changed. And I'm not saying that the change happened overnight. I still struggled with my walk in the very beginning. I didn't understand all of it, but all I know is that I took a step of faith. That day, I took one step, and God was there to be faithful to help me take another. And the next day, God was faithful to help me take another. So my question to us today is this. You're here, and God would echo the same thing that he echoed to this young man. I love you. And God's going to speak directly into our hearts, and he's going to sit here, and he's going to say, this is available to you. This gift of everlasting life is available to you, but what's keeping you from receiving it? What is keeping you from letting go of the things that this world has offered you? Because I guarantee you, if you start thinking for a second, all the stuff that you've been involved in and every promise that it made you for complete happiness and satisfaction, how's that working for you? Because I guarantee you, after you enjoy a 5-minute thing of pleasure or whatever it may be, the regret kicks in and the guilt kicks in. And then you start going off. I'm a horrible person. And all of the things that run through your mind that make you even draw further away from God instead of running to God. I want to encourage you today, don't walk away, because God is offering us an amazing gift. Don't sacrifice all of eternity for the temporary joys that this earthly treasure is offering you. So what am I saying? Love Jesus more than what the world has to offer. And when you're willing to do that, he's willing to meet you right there. And he's willing to not just come into your life on that day. He's going to be with you every day. And he's going to walk you through life. He's going to be there to be your strength. He's going to be there to give you wisdom. He's going to be there to tell you what, you know, give you his guidance and direction. He's going to be there to intervene in those days when you need him the most. But he can't do that if you have your trust in other things. And so right now, as we're speaking this, if there's anything that is holding you back right now, from living for the Lord, I want to challenge you. I know we normally say, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. But I want you to know right now, there's no need to bow a head. And there's no need to be afraid of who's watching. Because this is a decision between you and God. And if God has been ministering to your heart this morning that you need to let go, that you've been striving after these earthly things, and everything that you've fought for and everything that you've been trying to get is not leaving anything of satisfaction in your heart, is because it can't. And I'm pointing you to Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to fall in love with Jesus. But in order for you to do that, we first need to deal with the sin. So right where you're at, I want to challenge you. Just stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. All I'm asking is that you just stand. And if this is an opportunity for you to just let it go, praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, you see the men and the women that are standing. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, just as you were able to look into this young man's heart and realize what was holding him back, you see into their hearts, you see into my heart, you see into all of our hearts. And you know exactly what area that has had a stronghold on them. And I'm praying in the power of Jesus' name that God, you would deliver them, that you would set them free, that God, you would embrace them, that they would be able to hear your voice say, I love you, that they would believe with all of their heart that God, you died for them, that you set them free from that eternal separation that sin will bring. And their desire is to leave this place in better condition than the way that they came. So God, we lift them up into your hands right now. And I ask God, would you please do an amazing work in each and every one of their hearts. Lord, set them free. And give them the strength and the ability to handle whatever it is that is before them. You are far greater than any giants on this earth. You are far greater than any addiction. You are far greater than any earthly treasure. God, give them the ability to take one step at a time. And that you would be faithful to help them take the next. God, watch over them. Protect them. Give them the opportunity to experience the joy of having that personal relationship with you. And I pray that today, God, for the family, God, help us not to be pretenders. God, help us not just to come into this church and give you an ear, without giving you our hearts. May we not just go through the motions. May we literally be the church that you desire for us today. God, I am so thankful for the moving of your Spirit and for touching lives and drawing them closer to you. And I pray right now, God, please pour out your Spirit upon these lives that they may walk with you today. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. 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 Listen, for those of you who stood up, worship team, go ahead and come forward. For those of you who stood up, I just want to encourage you with this. Take one day at a time. Lean on the Lord. Dig into his word. And he's going to show you the beauty again of who he is in every one of your circumstances. I want you to be willing to just give Pastor Josh a moment of your time. He's going to pray over you. He's going to encourage you. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. But listen, just give him a little bit of your time, and he's going to encourage you a little bit more. The rest of you, we're going to all stand. We're going to worship the Lord. And if you have any prayer requests, we're going to have an amazing team up here praying for you. So please don't leave this place without, again, getting prayed up. One last encouragement, okay? One last request. Can we commit to praying for our world today? Listen, I'm not bitter because my team's not in the Super Bowl. But listen to me. Can you imagine how much different our world would be if Sunday after Sunday, that many people with every single football stadium that's packed at every single football game would come to hear the gospel? Can you imagine how much more different our world would be? So we need to be praying. I understand it, but the reality is it's just a football game. And we need to be praying for those families, because there's going to be a lot of unhappy people after that game is over. You'll have some that are excited and others that are going to be bummed out. I don't care about the TVs that get smashed. But what I do care about are the kids and the wives who will suffer from that. So we need to be praying for our world, that they would see it's just a football game. There's nothing wrong with watching it. But I just wish and pray that those hearts, as passionate and as excited as they are about their teams, that God would be able to switch it around and they would be passionate about him. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Have a blessed day.